So we are now approaching a very good time to hear from the Lord. We are welcoming the servant of the Lord. Yes, Sister Judith. Welcome, Ma'am Judith. Would you appreciate when she's coming forward? We'll be praying for the word.
Good morning, church. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Let us stand up for a prayer and the reading of God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are once again here today, this morning, in your presence to thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your presence, to sit at your feet, to listen to you, Jehovah God. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit to come and dwell among us, to break the word to us, O God. Father, Lord, I pray for a double anointing of your Holy Spirit, that I may be, Lord, a vessel in your hands, O God, and your mouthpiece, O God. May I speak, Lord, only that which you want your people to hear, that they may hear your oracles, O God, that your word will go forth to transform your people, to bless them, O God, to equip them for good works out there. Welcome, Holy Spirit, and be our guests and hear. Let us hear from you, O God, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us open the Bible as we remain standing. In the book of Ruth, we shall be having two readings today. And we read from Ruth chapter 1, from verse 8 to 18. And I begin to read. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. And where you go, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. We'll also read from Ruth chapter 4, verse 9 to 15. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to give thanks to God this morning for giving us the opportunity to come and sit in his presence to listen to his word. And I want to thank the church leadership for giving us the opportunity to stand here and proclaim the gospel. Now, the theme of the parish that we are going through at this time of the year is practical actions of faithful men and women living in integrity before God. Practical actions of faithful men and women living in integrity before God. And for today, the 10th of August, we are talking about the power of faithfulness put into action. How Ruth's loyalty led to elevation. The power of faithfulness put into action. How Ruth's loyalty led to elevation. Now, the story of Ruth is a very interesting story. The Bible, if you may know, has got only two books which are written after women. One of them is Esther, and the other one is this Ruth. But you may be interested to know that there's another book written after a woman called Judith. And that is not me, actually. There's a book called Judith. It's in the Orthodox Bible version. If you look for it, you'll find that name there. Now, this story starts with a famine, hunger, that struck the land of Judah. When there was famine in Judah, a man called Elimelech and his wife Naomi left his country, Judah, to go and look for food so that his family may survive the hunger. And his journey led him to Moab. And as you know, Moab was not a very friendly country to Israel. So taking a journey to go into Moab was kind of a problematic decision. Why? Because God, through the law of Moses, had forbidden the children of Israel from associating with the people of Moab. And there are several reasons why that was done. The people of Moab, the Moabites, they were one of the tribes of Canaan, the promised land, where when God was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, he told them to disassociate themselves from the Canaanite people. And this was one of them. Now, the people of Moab worshipped a god called Chemosh. And as we know, the Israelites worshipped the god Yahweh. So going into Moab was a problem from the beginning. We read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 3, where God specifically said to the people of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, giving them your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons. Not only intermarrying with them, God also emphasized that they should not even come into their congregation. So he said in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 to 6, no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. You can read that scripture on your own. And also we notice that it is the king of Moab. If you remember the reading in the book of Numbers, you can read from home from chapter 22 to 29. That is the king of Moab is the one who called on Balak to go and curse the children of Israel while they were passing, because he had seen the Israelites had defeated many other kings. So he was afraid of them. And so he called for a prophet to come and curse the children of Israel. But God turned that curse into a blessing. Instead of cursing them, they were blessed. That is associated with the Moabites. So, also, the Moabite king, when the children of Israel were coming from Egypt to go to the promised land, it is the same king, another king of Moabites, the same Moabites, who refused to have them pass through their land as they proceeded to Canaan. And that story is written in the book of Judges, chapter 11, from verse 17 to 18. Verse 17 to 18, it says, Israel then sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, please let us pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not listen. And they sent also to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. Then they journeyed through the wilderness and went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab and arrived on the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side. So he did not allow them to pass through. Even when they begged that we will not drink your water, we will not do anything, we'll just pass through, he refused. And that now is where Elimelech and his sons and his wife have gone to set camp to look for food. Now, soon, Elimelech will die. After he dies, and his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who have married Moabite women, they also die. And now, it remains Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. I call them daughters-in-love. They remain the three women, the three widows. And after thinking over it, Naomi decides, I should go back to my people, because here, there is really nothing here for me. Let me go back to my people and my God and my traditions and my culture. So he sets out to go back to the land of Judah. And while on the way, her two daughters-in-law are following her, and she tells them to go back. She strongly and bitterly convinces them to go back, as we read in the story. She tells them, I don't have other children who are going to marry you, so you remain with your people, with your land, with your gods, and with your culture. So one of the daughters, Orpah, agrees and goes back. But we have this stubborn one called Ruth. Ruth decides that I am not going back. I am going with you. And now the cards are kind of changing. Ruth is making a very risky decision to go back with Naomi to a land that is not hers, to a land that she doesn't know, to a land that worships a different God, Yahweh. But she decides that she will go with it. She is being convinced by her own mother-in-law not to go, but she takes the risk to go back. If getting married to a foreign man in her own country was on like jumping on the frying pan, then going to the land of that man, to Israel, was then like jumping into the fire. But against all advice and opposition, Ruth takes the step to go to Israel with her mother-in-law. She chooses to return with her mother-in-law to Israel. Now, I just want to mention here that you should remember that on your way to elevation, as you may see the story of Ruth, you will encounter a lot of opposition. And that opposition might not even be from people outside. It will be from your own people. It can be from your own parents, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your colleagues will oppose you. They will discourage you from taking that bold step. But remember, your case is different. They might refer to other cases before that have failed, but it is important for you to listen to the voice of God because your case is always different. Now, perhaps as you are at that crossroads of wondering whether I should take a step forward or go backward. Should I go with this decision or should I not? Should I start this business or should I not? Should I get married to this woman or should I not? Should I get married to this man or should I not? Should I migrate to this country or should I not? Should I take this job that is going to take me away from my family or should I not? Listen to the voice of the Lord and remain faithful. So how did Ruth overcome discouragement that was surrounding her and still take forward the step of going into Yahweh? Because Ruth remained faithful. She remained faithful and loyal, not only to Naomi. By remaining faithful to Naomi, Ruth was remaining or taking up faith in the God of Naomi. And by remaining faithful to the God of Israel, Yahweh, Ruth was elevated. She got her redemption. She got her elevation. One of the very most important elevations in life because she became the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. She became the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, I was just wondering, how did faithfulness and loyalty play a role in the elevation and redemption of Ruth to be an ancestor of Jesus Christ? Faithfulness and loyalty are virtues of integrity that we are studying, and it involves taking risks and making sacrifices. Ruth's decision to leave her own homeland to go to a different land was in itself a risk. Because imagine somebody comes into this country and marries a Congolese and then comes with her husband, okay, and her children marry a Congolese. You are married to a foreigner who then dies by fate, but dies. And then your mother-in-law says she's going back to wherever, say Nigeria. And then you are leaving your own parents here, your brothers and sisters in Congo, the Congolese culture that you know, and going into Nigeria, which you don't know, you've never been there. It was a big risk that Ruth took. She took a big risk to go into a different culture. There was a possibility of her even forgetting her own identity. There was a possibility of her forgetting her language. There's a possibility that she will never come back to her own country again to see her people. So there are all these things which were at odds against her. But she nevertheless took the risk to go with Naomi to her land, a land that she never knew. There was also the risk that people might notice her and remember she's a Moabite. She comes from this country which prevented the Israelites from passing. And they could do her harm. She didn't know what she was going to face in Israel as she went. But that sacrifice and dedication was recognized. When she went into the harvest, where people were gleaning in the land of Boaz, She was recognized. When Boaz came by and saw her gleaning behind the reapers, he asked, "Who is that woman?" And people recognized her because of what she had done before. That risk turned into a blessing. When Boaz spoke in Ruth chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, he said, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native and land to come to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord." That was elevation. God had elevated her. From the mouth of Boaz, a blessing had been spoken. Another risk that Ruth took was by following the instructions of her mom, her mother-in-law. When the reaping was going on and there was going to be a threshing of the wheat, Naomi gives instructions to Ruth and tell her in Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 to 5, "Go and clean yourself, go to the threshing floor, go and lie down." Very unconventional instructions. He says, then Naomi said, her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down." That was very risky. But Ruth went, not knowing what could happen to her. She took the risk and went. And we all know that the redemption started at that threshing floor. Another thing is that faithfulness and loyalty require remaining consistent in the face of adversity in order to reach elevation. Naomi was bitter. She was so bitter that when she arrived back in Judah, she told people not to call her Naomi again. She said, "Call me Mara." But her daughter-in-law Ruth remained consistent, remained demonstrating her unwavering loyalty in her willingness to follow her mother to a land she did not know. She also remained consistent in her work. Every day she woke up, she went to the fields to glean behind the harvesters, every day without resting. Even the workers attested to it. In Ruth 2 verse 7, says, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. She worked hard. She remained consistent in her loyalty. Hallelujah. Faithfulness and loyalty must also be unconditional and unwavering in order to bring forth elevation. Ruth, while following Naomi, she did not tell her, "I will go with you only if you will find me a husband there. I will go with you only if you will provide for me." Because Naomi was old and a woman. She was not in a position to work and provide for her. The father-in-law was also dead. She was not sure of who was going to provide for her in that land. But Ruth took the risk of going. She was unconditional and unwavering in her loyalty to this woman called Naomi. And she followed Naomi's instructions. Hallelujah. We find that Ruth, being the younger woman in this situation, she was also very submissive to her mother-in-law. In everything that the mother-in-law instructed her, even when it looks unconventional, she followed. She followed what her mother-in-law said. She was very submissive and she was very humble. When she went to work on the fields, when she was called to come and given the favor to come and eat with the rest of the workers, she went and worked, and every time she said, "Thank you." She went on her knees and said, "Thank you." Now, the story of Ruth demonstrates that sincere faith in the God of Israel can supersede all legal restrictions. Just like in the present day of dispensation of grace and mercy, it also demonstrates that when we remain faithful and loyal in society, God makes a way for us. I just want to give an example of this church. There are so many people working around this church, and some of them, we never see them. I know of a girl called Wilamin. Her name is Wilamin. She works in this church. She's supposed to be a member of the choir, but I rarely sometimes see her in the choir. Why? Because she is somewhere in this church, either cleaning. Sometimes you'll find her in the kitchen cooking, but she's working behind the scenes. And that is what Ruth was doing when she got her elevation. Ruth was gleaning behind the reapers. She was not one of the reapers, but she was behind. But Boaz recognized her. I just want to encourage you today that whatever you are doing today for the church, in whichever position, you may not find an opportunity to come and stand here on the pulpit to minister. You may not find an opportunity to be the leader of the service. But what you are doing, do it faithfully and do it with loyalty. The God who made Ruth to be seen at the back of the land, gleaning the remainders, he is going to see you. He is going to notice you. And he is going to bring redemption and elevation to you. Don't wait to be called in front, to be told to serve, to be given a name. Ruth did not have a name. Perhaps the only name she had, it was the widow of Mahlon. But God gave her a name. From wherever she was, all the way from Moab, she came. And she was given a name. The name she was given was Great. She did not only become the wife of Boaz, but she became the mother of Obed. She became the grandfather of King David. She became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. So whatever you are doing in a small state or a big state, and also, I just want to tell you, that you may be at a crossroads as a decision that you have to make. You want to go into a business. You want to go to school. You want to get married to a person from a different tribe. You want to get married to a different country, but there is opposition. Even your own blood people will oppose you. Listen to the voice of the Lord. With the voice of the Lord, you will never go wrong. Hallelujah. Now, in summary, just tell you what I spoke about. First, faithfulness and loyalty as virtues of integrity involve taking risks and making sacrifices. Number two, faithfulness and loyalty require remaining consistent in the face of adversity in order to achieve redemption and elevation. Third, faithfulness and loyalty must be unconditional, unwavering, and must include humility in order to bring forth elevation. And the last one, the story of Ruth demonstrates that sincere faith in the God of Israel supersedes any legal restrictions. Because some people will tell you, don't marry from that tribe. The men of that tribe are wizards. They run during the night. The men of that tribe are lazy. The women from that tribe are lazy. They'll tell you all these things. But the grace of God supersedes all this. And much more today under the dispensation of grace, where mercy and grace supersedes law. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.
Can you again put your hand together for this message? Thank you so much, Sister Judith.